I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to The Poisoner's Cabinet. I'm Sinead.
And I'm Nick.
And this is your weekly podcast exploring the lives of the great poisoners and macabre murders and captivating crimes from across the centuries and creating curious cocktails inspired by the tales that we tell. And it's episode 164.
Yes, it is. And I'm yawning.
Wow. Wow.
Not a good time to yawn, man.
No, you've not yawned once since I arrived. Suddenly just the sheer effort.
Like 164.
Or that's sleepy time.
Sleepy time.
This is when we have our podcast nap.
Podcast naps. Yes, I entirely subscribe to that.
Right. Okay. Sorry, is narcolepsy just hit you?
Apparently so. It's just gone, no, shut down.
Oh, God, she's at it again. Well, how are you, Nick?
I'm sleepy, apparently.
Sleepy. Just sleepy.
Yeah.
Why? Every time we record, do your neighbours go insane next door?
I don't know. Well, I think they've moved out.
Someone's in there.
Because it's now got a big for sale sign outside.
Yes, I know, but the bodies they left behind are coming back to life,
well,
clearly.
That, as long as they're locked in there, that's fine.
Well, all right. Okay, we're not going to have that. You see, they're slamming doors. They're annoying.
Well, the dead will do that.
Oh, God. All right.
Or it's the dogs.
The dogs have taken over. They've put a for sale sign on the building. But how are you otherwise, Nick?
Oh, fine. Full of boxes.
Boxes is a packing city here.
Oh, I hate it. It's boring.
Oh.
So dull.
But soon you have a shiny new home.
Yeah, not soon enough.
Yeah, you want it all dealt with.
I just want it done.
Are you slightly regretting
not having the
very fancy and silly, not silly, but that very fancy option where you get the removers to pack all your stuff?
Yes, I am very much regretting that. But also, unfortunately, I can't really do that because I can't. The removers can't throw away half the shit I don't need.
Or you could ask them to make judgment calls.
So I generally have to do that, which is really annoying. And lovely friends and things are like, can I come and help? And you go, lovely, but it's just some stuff I need to sort out.
Why did I end up helping on Sunday then?
Because you just chuck shit out.
I do.
So it's like, have you used that in the last 20 minutes? No, in the bin.
In the bin, yeah. I'm pretty good, to be fair.
So, yeah.
It's just like everyone else escaped the packing duties. Me, roped in, cracking the whip.
Roped in?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you're beating down the door to get in.
All of 2 minutes to go through your drawers. Go, you don't need this, you don't need these pencils, you don't need this sauce, you don't need these clothes.
We only came round to watch a film. I thought we were going to have a nice time.
No, Nick!
No! I'm going to go through all your cupboards.
Purge the sins. Well,
reach the sin cupboard yet.
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't want to go to the sin cupboard. Others, more naive folk, might come in and go, oh, I want to look in the sin cupboard. I know you well enough to go, I'm staying the hell away from that. That needs to be on another floor away from where I am. But yeah, maybe that's the one thing you leave for the removal men.
Very possibly. Or the next people who live here. Just terrify them.
What the hell is in it? Well, any poisonings this week?
No.
I may have been poisoned by the pollen again.
Oh yeah, is it back?
It is.
I haven't been so bad this week.
I've been fine. I did. It's my own fault. I went outside.
Well, that's stupid. It very much is your own fault.
There's a follow up.
Does it need to be? You went outside. It's madness.
Went outside to take the air, and the air got me. No, I went outside this morning, was up early, and thought, oh, I better go and trim all the roses. So I've been cutting stuff in the garden.
As one does.
Yes, you know what, Nick? Yes, as one does. If you've got a bloody garden, you have to go and deadhead. It's very important. Some more roses will come. So I was out there in my little dressing gown, deadheading.
Yeah.
And now I'm dying.
Your pinny.
my pinny. Pinny. What do you think I wear of a morning? Do you think I get up and put on like one of those tabard things?
That's what I'm imagining. That's with a nice pair of gardening gloves.
No.
I'm thinking. And probably a straw hat.
No.
No.
It's a leather
Some
hat.
Wellies.
No, I'm surprisingly unorganized about my garden attire. I do wear gloves occasionally, but you know what I'm like? If I see something, I'll just get, I'll just do that now. Roses, blood streaming in my hands, going, it's fine, I'll do it by hand.
I haven't got any secateurs. I'll use my teeth, it's
exactly,
fine.
Exactly, yeah, just ripping them off. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? They blossom beautifully
I'm
because
sure they, do.
They are powered by my blood.
My blood.
So yeah, if I start sneezing, or if my voice sounds weird because my nose is blocked up, or if this video just looks like I've died, that'll be it. It's the pollen doesn't like me.
Yes.
Well, speaking of cupboards you dare not go into and being poisoned by the world, I think it is time for us to thank our delicious Patreon subscribers.
Oh, why not? Let's do it. Let's talk more slowly. Thank you very much to Absinthe Minded.
Oh, that's very good. No more Patreons. That's it. They have all the Patreon.
Yep, you get all the Patreons this week.
No, there's more, and they're even sexier as we go on. Tia.
Faye Miles.
To Lynn Smith.
To Courtney Woodward Keith.
And to Talia Lavin.
Thank you very much, you marvellous people.
Sexy, sexy Patreon subscribers. You are lovely. You are beautiful. We're having such fun over on Patreon at the moment.
Yeah, well, not this week. We weren't. Bloody miserable.
I know, I'm sorry. I did tell quite a sad tale. But it had its moments. It was interesting.
Mm.
I'll give you that. It wasn't just relentlessly bleak.
Not going to get much better today. I'll tell you now.
Oh, God. All right, then. Well, it's glad I started drinking early then, isn't it? Yes. But we also had fun with our book chat at the weekend.
Yes.
That is a benefit that the lovely Patreon subscribers have every month because we have our book club on Facebook. We get together and do a bit of a live stream and chat about books and about the world. And just sit and hang for a bit.
That stuff.
Yes.
I wasn't there this month, but I hear it was marvellous.
Yes. You're rarely there.
I'm rarely there. I've done one.
You've done one. You put an appearance with a hat and then it's all anyone talks about.
Best thing that's happened in years.
It's like you sweeping into some sort of ball late in a top hat. And who is this mysterious man?
And then he's
oh
gone.
My goodness. Oh my goodness me. And then yeah, all they ask is, will he arrive? Will he arrive at this month's book ball?
If it was now a ball, then yes, absolutely. It was the book ball.
Well, you wouldn't know. You don't turn up.
Okay.
We're all wearing ball gowns. From the waist down.
From the waist down.
Exactly. Well, Nick, are you ready?
Probably not.
To drink cocktails and talk about poison?
Okay.
Or we could drink poison and talk about cocktails.
Oh, I want more drinks.
Shall we go with the first one?
Let's do that.
Oh, let's. Hooray, hooray, hooray. It is Nick's story this week, but we can't possibly have a story without a cocktail in hand. As you know, dear listeners, every week we choose a secret ingredient that is inspired by the tale that we tell, and it will flavour our cocktail of the week. Nick's story, so his pick. And this week's secret ingredient is...
Schnapps.
Now, again, why have we not had schnapps
before?
I did
have to go through the list and go, I'm sure I've had schnapps.
Schnapps.
But no, apparently not.
And we're going to go schnapps
apparently
all the time.
Not had schnapps before.
I have a little phrase in my head that I think of every time. It's from the producers, the original one. An occasion like this calls for schnapps!
That's good. I like that.
There you are. Points if you guess what that scene is. So schnapps is... I can't stop saying it like that.
Once you say it, you can't stop.
It is pronounced schnapps. We're not just putting it on, are we?
No. How else would one pronounce it?
Snaps?
Snap. No.
No.
It's got a shh.
Now, I know a type of schnapps which is popular on the market.
There are a variety of types of schnapps.
Types of schnapps. Flavoured, usually they are.
Yeah, they indeed, yes.
But you can have just straight alcohol schnapps, can
No, I believe they are all generally flavoured. It's a flavoured, usually a fruity flavoured thing.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Might a peach be turning up?
We'll find out.
Oh, or an apple?
An apple schnapps.
What other ones are there?
You can get peppermint schnapps.
Oh, yes. That's very popular in Christmas in America.
Yes, indeed. You can get peppermint, which I've never had before. Mm. You can get raspberry, say all variety of fruity schnapps.
Oh, I see.
You can get, I've seen hazelnut schnapps.
Oh, can we have that?
But we haven't got that.
Oh, fuck you.
I just taunt you with these exciting things.
Exactly.
And then go, nah,
you taunt me with your nuts. No, exciting. Okay, well then with schnapps as your ingredient. This is a bad ingredient for us because we've just lost our mind saying it. So with schnapps. Nick, we've done to know what's in the schnapps. What have you come up with?
Well, What have we come up with?
A phase of making you talk. And I'm not sure where this SS officer was from, actually.
Hello, hello, I think.
And also Sweden.
So this week,
yep,
we are having,
yep,
a missionary's downfall.
Oh my.
Which I love as a name.
That's brilliant.
Which is a brilliant name.
Ooh, ooh. What did they do?
Well, we'll find out.
Oh, missionary downfall. Oh, I quite like. Oh, it promises much.
Raided the schnapps, one would imagine.
It did, probably. Okay, wonderful. Well, I think it is high time for us then to slink into the poisoner's cabinet kitchen and shake up a storm. So we'll see you in a minute.
We'll see you in a minute.
And we're back.
Hello.
So, Nick.
Yes.
We have a missionary's downfall.
Missionary's downfall.
And you prepared beautifully in the kitchen.
I like it.
But we must address something.
We must. There is actually a real kitchen. I do go into a real kitchen and make real drinks.
So we had a comment from one of our darling followers on Patreon, because since we've started doing little video highlights, I obviously cut out bits, and someone thought we didn't actually make up cocktails. They just appeared, or we just sat here and there was the cocktail and there was the drink. No, that's just the way I've edited it together with a little time lapse. Nick truly does go into the kitchen.
I
and I can't go and film it, because otherwise I'd know what's in it.
Exactly. And we can't have any cheating like that.
No, so, we can't.
No, the cocktails are made fresh. At each little gap.
Freshly squeezed
cocktails.
Beautiful. And this is very... Ooh, looks like very refreshing.
Very refreshing.
Very refreshing. It's yellow. It's a pretty colour. And you've garnished it.
I have.
Is that a sprig of mint?
It's a sprig of mint.
Is it a sprig of mint?
Delightful. Sprig of mint.
With our schnapps.
With the schnapps.
Oh, how delightful. It's like we're sitting on a veranda. And have you crushed ice?
Yes.
Either that or you were just losing it in the kitchen and banging
really,
shit.
I was really, really pissed off with the kitchen.
You took a while in there as well.
I was banging stuff.
Yeah, you were. Boy. But yeah, you were crushing ice and stuff. I heard other noises.
Yes. There's all manner of things going on in there. It's a highly complex production.
High hopes. This very pale drink. All right, let's dig in.
Intrigued.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Ooh.
That's nice. Trying to bring big lumps of ice on my teeth.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, there it is. Oh, there it is. There's peach. Mm. Peach schnapps. Ooh.
That's really good. I like
that. That's really refreshingly delicious.
Mm.
Yay.
I can imagine sitting outside in the garden.
On the veranda, mate.
On the veranda. Of a summer's afternoon.
That is summer in a glass.
Yeah. Oh, that's, ooh, delightful. Ooh.
And there's all sorts of flavours going on there as well, apart from the old peach schnapps, which I'm going to guess is in it.
There is schnapps in it, yes.
Yay, and it's the peach variety.
It's the peach variety.
Hooray. Now, as to what else is in there?
There are other things. It's not just a big glass of peach schnapps.
Well, I think there's more mint in there.
There is mint in there.
There is mint in there. Muddled?
There is muddled mint.
Muddled mint. I thought I heard you muddling.
Yes, muddling.
Muddled mint and peach. Ooh, yeah, nice. Yeah. Like it. And ice.
And ice.
And
there are three other things.
Oh, and flavours.
Flavours.
There are three ingredients.
Three other ingredients.
Okay. Yeah. So what would go with schnapps? Gin?
Nope.
Vodka?
Nope.
Sugar. Is there sugar in it?
Ish.
Oh, is it a flavoured sugar or something?
Yeah.
Or a syrup?
Yes, there is a syrup.
Oh, okay. What syrup? I'm trying to think of what syrup you have. Ginger? Raspberry?
No.
Honey?
Yes.
Honey, yay. Oh, yeah. Oh, it does have a kind of honey hue. No, didn't know that at all. Of course I didn't. All right, so two other things.
Two other things.
I better drink more.
Better have some
out.
More. Absolutely. Better find out.
I really don't know. It's a lovely peachy mint flavour. What else?
I really like that.
What mysteries does this drink hold?
Rum.
Oh, God damn it. If I'd kept going with the spirits, I would have gotten there next week.
It's a nice
week.
Sort of, middly golden rum.
Ooh,
nothing
nice.
Nothing too dark, but nothing too light. So, sort of golden three-year rum in there. And some pineapple.
Oh, pineapple. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't get the pineapple.
Pineapple juice.
I'm not. I wouldn't have immediately guessed. Well, obviously, I didn't immediately guess pineapple juice.
It's not a huge amount. You have half an ounce.
Nice.
Half an ounce of pineapple in
That's
there.
That's a summery delight,
it
Nick.
It works as a delight. It works a treat.
And you know, the missionary would, this would be their
this
downfall.
This would be absolutely their downfall.
Because once you tried one, you'd need more.
And it doesn't taste that alcoholic.
No, it doesn't.
It's one of those things you think,
quite a bit,
oh, it's like
there?
Iced tea. Oh, it's tea. Long Island iced tea is tea. There's nothing alcoholic in there at all.
Not at all. No, it's perfectly blended. And with lots of ice in there on a hot day, or you'd be craving another one of these. And then you'd be dancing on tables.
And then you'd be dead.
I don't know how schnapps affects us over the course of an episode, but we'll find out.
We'll find out.
Also, we have fizz as well. Well, I have fizz.
Shane always has fizz.
It's not my episode. That's a lovely drink. And I dare say most people would be able to make this as well.
I would imagine so, yeah. Nothing too weird in there. That's a good one. Rah.
Hurrah.
Hurrah.
Before we move on, we have to say a big thank you to lovely Matt, who sent us a lovely package while rummaging around, I believe, in a charity shop, found a couple of books that are just perfect for Nick.
Oh, some fantastic cocktail-y books.
Yeah.
And I'm loving this one. This must be from late 70s or something like that.
Wow.
1963.
What's it called?
This is called The Art of Mixing Drinks.
Yay!
A corgi book, 2 and 6.
Nice. It's a 1960s mixology book about...
1960s, based on the famous Esquire drink book. Here Ooh. Are the correct ingredients and preparation methods for nearly 1,000 drinks.
Do you want to pick one at random?
Mulled wine with eggs. No!
Whoa! What? Mulled wine with eggs?
With eggs.
What kind of... Like a whole egg?
Beat separately the whites and yolks of a dozen eggs.
A dozen?
Pour 2 bottles of red wine into a saucepan. Thinning with just half the amount of water. Just before it comes to boil, mixing the whites and yolks together.
What? And then you get scrambled eggs, red wine.
Yeah, I'm not
And you eat it with a spoon. It was the style at the time in the 60s.
A mulled scramble.
Enjoy it with a cigarette.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So yeah,
wow.
That's an interesting point to pick.
Are there good recipes in there as well?
I mean, there are many of them, so I think there'll be some interesting ones.
Yeah.
But yes, well, thank you so much for considering us and sending these things to it. That'd be fantastic.
Also sent a beautiful, beautiful copy of The Art of Mixology.
I've often seen that on Amazon, and I've got, but now it's there. Brilliant.
And now you have it.
Now I have it. Absolutely
classic
fantastic.
Cocktails.
Ooh, the fog cutter.
The fog cutter. Ooh.
Rum, brandy, gin, orange juice, lemon juice, and orgeat. Oh, and sherry.
Oh, and sherry, because...
float some sherry on the top.
Oh, float some... That does sound like that was just open the cupboard and went, okay, rum, orange juice, and gin. Oh, and sherry. Put sherry in it.
Oh, I do like they've got a section for visiting aunts.
No, they don't. Really? What?
For visiting aunts.
What does it say?
So, brew tea to a proper strength, put in a pitcher with ice, add rum until it tastes right.
Aunt Gordon would be very proud.
Delicious at luncheons. Most delicious at luncheons. I quite agree.
Excellent.
Aunt Gordon would indeed be proud.
This is a book to live by. Thank you so much, Matt.
That's fantastic. Much fun to be had there.
Well, with the missionary's downfall firmly in hand, we hold the secret to it. We pushed him off that cliff. Is it time for a story, Nick?
Oh, why not? Before I have too many of those and I can't read.
Regale me.
Probably wise.
Regaling.
So today,
yep,
we're going to Austria.
Oh, nice.
Austria.
We don't often go to Austria.
We don't. This is where we're going to hear the story of Franz and Rosalie Schneider.
Schneider. Did they enjoy a schnapps?
No, the Schneiders enjoy a schnapps on a Saturday evening.
Saturday evening. With their... I'm running out.
Yeah, run out of things.
Yeah.
But Franz and Rosalie are a murderous, evil couple who take great pleasure in luring unsuspecting women to their deaths.
Oh, it is grim.
Yeah.
Instantly. No preamble whatsoever.
No, absolutely. Just get in there with death.
Oh, good Lord.
Right, we're going to start with Franz. Franz, so he's born in 1857 in the teeny tiny hamlet of Mustetten. There's too many T's and E's and T's and N's in there. Mustetten.
Right.
Now, at the time, this town is part of Austria. Now it's in Germany, but it's very close to Innsbruck, not far from the border in Innsbruck. Now, he has one brother, Heinrich. It's not a glamorous upbringing, really. It was, and it still is, a very agricultural, rural area. So Franz and Heinrich spend very little time at the little local school. They are needed to work the land on the farm. He never completes his schooling. He is semi-literate, can barely write his own name, really. So as Franz grows into a teenager, he becomes increasingly frustrated with his lot in life, really,
as
one would. Backbreaking labour for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, nothing to show for at the end. And he starts to realise that if he doesn't do something, this is it for the next 50 years and he's dead.
Yeah, it's like when I help you move house.
Pretty much. Pretty much. It doesn't happen every day, though, does it?
So... Soon. But yeah, it's a thankless existence.
It's a very thankless existence with not... many exciting prospects. Not much fun to look forward.
Sometimes a crow comes by.
Yes. So he decides, things need to change. He needs to get out of this rut or that he could well find himself in. So what honest, hardworking profession does he turn to? We ask ourselves. Burglary.
Right.
Burglary. Why work for it when you can take it from someone else?
Yep, that's fair enough.
Much, much easier way of going about things.
It is the conclusion a lot of our subjects reach.
Absolutely. So he starts off small. He's still young. He's still sort of teenager. So anything that can be discreetly pocketed might
is the burglary relative to his size through this story?
I think he's like he's sent on errands to neighboring towns,
right,
for his family. If he's in a store or something like that, a little thing might just. While he's
fall into his pocket,
absolutely. So yeah, he always comes back with a few extra items that he's liberated really from those who don't really need them.
No,
once or twice he's sort of caught, not literally, but he's caught with his hand in the till. He is caught trying to go for someone's bag or trying to pick something off a shelf that he really shouldn't be touching. But he's got quite a youthful, cheeky chappy charm about him, and so he's still quite a young lad at this time, so generally he gets off with nothing, but he gets a good telling off and probably a smack around the head, but that's the extent of his punishments at this. But as he gets older, it's sort of harder and harder to reconcile cheeky chappy laddie when you're 16 17 nicking stuff. it's a bit more difficult to be, oh sorry gov. Yeah. First time, honest.
And he's stealing bigger things as well.
As he tries to make off with a tractor. Yeah.
He's got a pig under each arm. Oh, no, these aren't for everybody.
Yeah.
You don't just take the till.
So it becomes more difficult to bluff his way out of trouble. Mm. So now he might actually end up in the cells for a night or two.
Oh, no.
Or something like that. So he ends up locked up for a night or two. And these sort of stays in prison do get a bit longer, maybe a week next time. But it seems to be that he gets away with more than he gets caught.
Yeah.
So for him, it still seems to be a worthwhile venture to go down. Eventually, though, he gains such a reputation that people are actually, they cross the road. If they see him coming, they move to the other side of the road.
Right.
They're scared if his light fingers are going to find
steal
their way
them.
Into the... Yeah, steal them. Find their way into their pockets or anything like that. So people take pains to avoid him. If he goes into a shop, the shopkeepers, they are on him.
Ushering him out.
Eagle eyes. Either, yeah, we are watching you like a hawk, or get the hell out of here.
Oh, God.
After his release from his latest stint in prison, he says enough with enough. He can hardly move around town before someone calls out for a constable now. I have to get out. Somewhere big, somewhere far away where no one knows him. What better place than Vienna? The big, big city. The capital of the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Massive. He can well and truly get lost in the sprawling streets.
Ah, the music. The candles.
It'll be delightful. All that to steal.
All of that.
All of that he can
will
steal.
Be absolutely rinsing it in. Taking harpsichords down the street. Don't worry, we've got plenty.
So he leaves his tiny little village and he travels. It's over 500 kilometres to get to Vienna across the other side of the country. It's in Vienna that he meets his future wife and future accomplice, Rosalie Caparelli.
Oh, that is a great villainous wife's name. Rosalie Caparelli.
Caparelli.
Is she Italian?
I don't know if she's Italian or not, or if I'm just pronouncing it in a very un-Austrian way.
But right, okay. Sorry. I didn't help there. Completely lent into it.
Now, she is working as a maid in the city. She had been previously married. She had managed to divorce her husband. And she takes quite a shine to this new boy in town.
Ooh.
Really, this Franz, this new boy in France. Now, to begin with, Franz is really not that interested. But Rosalie is 6 years older than him.
Oh, ancient.
So ancient, hag practically, almost dead.
Okay. Calm down.
So, and she is described as rather plain. So Franz goes, no, I can find a young, beautiful thing. Until his opinion swiftly changes when he discovers that she's got a 700 florin dowry attached to her.
Oh, right.
So then she becomes a lot more attractive all of a sudden.
Oh my God, I never noticed
how beautiful your purse was.
So yes, she suddenly becomes
way
more attractive.
Way hotter. Yeah. And the pair are very quickly married.
Yes, okay. Do you think he met her first and was drawn by her name, thinking she was a woman with a dark cloak that flitted through the streets of Vienna, and he got there and went, oh, no.
My God, you're old, he said.
My God, you're completely unremarkable. I didn't even see you there. You've got how much dowry?
Yeah, you have.
Can't you see what I'm trying to say? I love you.
I imagine the whole meeting went very well, very much like that.
She just said, I haven't even said hello yet.
Now, Franz, he's not frugal in his spending.
He doesn't
really
seem like he would be.
Yeah. And now he's got quite a chunk of money. This is
quite
exciting.
A chunk of wife.
This is exciting. This is all the things he can buy with this.
What's he going to buy?
Oh, we don't know what he buys. But they get themselves an apartment. They furnish the apartment. But the dowry quickly runs out. It does not last. I mean, he is, yes, he likes going to for drink, to he likes going drinking and going to the entertainments and such like, and say he likes nice things.
Well, yeah, you're in Vienna in like one of the most exciting periods of time.
Absolutely. So, but they are soon out of cash. They are soon pretty much out of cash.
Next week.
I think it lasts them more than a week, but within a few months, I think they're pretty hard up.
Yeah.
So they decide to top up their funds. He starts blackmailing Rosalie's ex-husband.
Right.
For money. Now, I have no idea what about.
Oh, let's think of
so
something.
So I can only assume that Rosalie has divulged some deep, dark secret to her new husband about the ex-husband, and he is now blackmailing said man with this juicy tidbit of whatever it may be.
Was it about his juicy tidbit?
Well, who knows? Who knows?
Oh, goodness, what could he have been blackmailing? What could it have been? I mean, I guess it must be something only a husband and wife would know.
Absolutely.
Or maybe he had some financial shenanigans going on.
I mean, they must have divorced for a reason. Was it something to do with the reasons why they had divorced? We don't know.
Maybe. His love of chocolates.
His love of chocolates. Who can say? But they are able to leverage enough money out of this man so that they can move to a much, much nicer apartment.
Jesus, he really did not want his secrets divulged.
Yeah, so and it's not just a one-off sort of payment. It seems to go on for quite a few months or so as they are getting more and more money out of this chap.
Okay.
So they get enough money, they can move into an apartment in the Rudolfsheim district, which is quite near the centre of Vienna.
But they polish the reindeers?
Yes.
Right.
Actually named after the Prince Rudolf. And this district was named after
Shine. Yes. After, it's making sense
after
now.
Him. Yeah, so really in the center, and it's known as a very sort of multicultural area. There are lots of immigrants and things. People live there, but
yeah.
People with a bit of not a huge amount of money, but
good
people,
middle class Bohemian.
Exactly,
sort of.
Middle class.
Yeah, nice,
middle class
nice.
Sort of neighborhood. Absolutely,
you can be respectable but drink at the same time.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Okay.
So I mean, with this move, they seem to have gotten everything they can out of the ex-husband, and Franz sort of has to like go back to his staples of a bit of robbery, a bit of pickpocketing, throw a bit of fraud in there.
Oh, okay.
On the rare occasion, perhaps when the law gets a bit close, he actually takes up legitimate work as a butcher or as a domestic servant, says sometimes. He manages
yeah,
to get a job.
Yeah. Legitimate work as a domestic servant, pilfering everything.
Probably pilfering the silverware while he's at it.
And the pigs to butcher later.
Yeah, but so, I mean, even though soon this isn't enough to get them sort of the income that they need. So they need to, he has to keep on expanding and going for bigger and bigger prizes, really, to try and get the income to keep them both in the finery and loveliness.
See, he's never
that they want.
He's never learnt the value of money, of hard work or of money. If you come from absolutely nothing, I don't want to do this, I deserve much more.
Yeah.
You've got no concept of the real value of anything that you do.
Now, this is where things do take a slightly darker twist. We're looking now the 11th of September, 1890.
Jack the Ripper.
Yes, Jack the Ripper.
He's Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper. Yeah, of course.
He's at an inn, and there is a young woman also in the inn, Joanna Dumsgugger. Dumsgugger.
You're really doing her a service, aren't you?
It's Joanna Dumsgugger.
You don't have to go Dumsgugger. Dumsgugger.
Joanna Dumsgugger.
Great. Lovely. Yep. Sounds like a lovely woman.
She's a lovely woman.
She's much better than that mad woman that you were just talking about.
She's there in the inn. He walks in, spots this lone woman sitting by herself, joins her at a table. They start up a conversation. It's just general chit-chat, yes, pleasantries, yes. Two people there. He admires her lovely necklace that she's wearing. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, never trust a man who admires your necklace.
Yeah, he finds out that she's actually there to try and get a job. She's looking for a job. She wants to try and work at the inn, so she's there for an interview or to try and see the owner to get some employment. He goes, no, you don't want to work here. It's a shithole. You don't want to work at this. I have got a lovely inn just around the corner. I've got an inn. I'll offer you a job on the spot. Absolutely. I can tell you're a very attractive lady. All the things that people want from a bar person.
Can you pour a drink? Oh, what's a drink? Yeah. Never mind.
Never mind that. You look good. You've got very nice necklaces.
Oh.
He piles on the flattery until she goes, oh, for fuck's sake, okay, I'll take the job. At least let's go and have a look at the place.
Yes,
so
yeah.
Off she goes. So she actually leaves this inn. Joanna leaves the inn with Franz. The pair set off together, and she's going, not quite as close as you said it was, as they walk, and they start walking by some fields. As they're going pretty slightly remote area. He starts cutting across country, going, I know a shortcut, it's fine, it's just through this field, and they'll be there and it's all good. She's like, okay, fine. As soon as they are out of sight of the road, Franz attacks. He strikes. He demands that she hands over all her valuables, the necklace, the jewelry she's wearing, any coins that she has. Then he knocks her to the ground, and he sexually assaults Joanna in the field. After he is done, he leaves her there. He leaves in the field. She's still alive. She is alive. He legs it. He absolutely runs for it. So Joanna survives the ordeal, and she goes to report the attack to the authorities. The authorities don't believe her account.
Of course not.
The authorities don't believe her account because of her supposed bad reputation she has. Now, what this bad reputation is, again, we do not know. Probably she was a woman walking by with a man she did not know. You're asking for it, really, weren't you? What are you doing out with an unknown man?
You're in an inn alone,
unaccompanied.
Yes, looking for a job. Were you looking for a job, or are you really the most evil woman who's ever existed?
So yes, so she was indeed the most evil woman who had ever existed. So the police go, be gone with you. Nothing's going to happen. Off she goes, and she lives the rest of her life. We do not know what happens to her. In May the following year, so that was September, now in May, Franz lures another woman. This is Joanna Strober.
It's a thing for a woman named Joanna.
Yeah, indeed. Mm. Now, this time he goes to an abandoned church in Neuglumbach, which is a small town to the west of Vienna. There, again, he demands that she hand over all her valuables. Now, Joanna refuses, saying, fuck off, in German.
What is that in German?
I don't know.
I can't speak German.
But I mean, she says she has nothing of any worth. She has nothing here to give to him. He does not believe her. He leaps at her. He strangles her into unconsciousness. Ooh. And as she's lying unconscious on the floor, he finds her valuables that she does have, steals everything, and then again legs it, leaving her lying in the derelict church. She does survive the ordeal, and there was no evidence, or there's no report of any sexual assault in this situation.
What were they doing in the abandoned church?
Well, I don't know.
Did he lure her there, or was she just hanging out in the church?
No, I think there was another thing that we don't know the details of this one, as we did the previous one, but there is certainly indication that he had found her in an inn or somewhere.
They ended up there.
And they ended up there through some promise of that he had made her employment or what have you. Then on the 1st of June, that was May, June, Franz uses the inn trick again. This time he offers a job to Anna Gurix. Now, she is initially incredibly skeptical. She refuses to go, fuck off. I'm not going with you anywhere.
How many women are just going, fuck off to him?
Absolutely, piss off. But again, his skills of persuasion and flattery.
He does seem very charming.
And charm come out, absolutely. And he probably just wears her down more than anything. And eventually she says, fine, let's go. We'll go to this inn, whatever. And they set off for a long walk to this hypothetical inn. Like Joanna Dunsiger, he lures her across country, attacks, robbing her, leaving her in the woods. Anna at this point does not go to the authorities. She is convinced that no one's going to believe what she says. She is a single woman who's out looking for work. She has no reputation. No one's going to give a shit what I say. So she doesn't do anything about it. But she has survived the ordeal.
Yeah.
Now, eventually, that Franz and Rosalie decides that Franz's methods are not the way forward. They can't continue going like this. So it's very apparent that Rosalie is well aware of what her husband is doing.
Yes. Stop doing this to ladies.
Well, no. She feels that they are far too haphazard. It's far too random, the encounters. These are all chance encounters with people in inns and stuff like that.
He's not getting enough money,
and it's all down to just luck that he's meeting these people. Yeah, there's no structure to any of it. So they need a much steadier source of income, something that they can control. And robbing people, yes, it's very lucrative, but only if they can get the right people, the people they want to the right place, at the right time, people who weren't going to complain, who weren't going to make a fuss, people who wouldn't necessarily be missed.
Oh, God.
So they come up with a cunning plan.
Yeah.
Rosalie would visit local employment offices.
Okay.
So here, women would come and go, placing advertisements, detailing their skills as domestic maids, or they will answer help wanted ads that they have seen. Yeah. Rosalie looks like an entirely respectable woman. Now, she will loiter in these places.
Yeah.
And she will overhear the chat between women coming and going until she identifies a suitable target. Someone who is perhaps new to town, looking for a particular job.
Okay.
Is perhaps slightly, new to town, slightly naive, doesn't know her way around, is younger, so she hasn't got the experience behind her to go, no, you're talking rubbish. So she sort of finds out all these things from people.
I mean, that, it sounds like a really good logic to find someone who is, as you said, is not going to be missed and is naive enough, young, new in town. Are they going to have much money?
Don't have a huge amount of money on them, not particularly, but what they do is they have what's known as their box. It's become known as their box. And it is basically a box that they carry around with them, which has all their valuables in. Because they are so transient, they go from place to place. They everything
you
they
have
own
to carry everything
is,
with you.
Is there. Yeah, it could be anything from the few odd bits of jewellery you've got, some nice clothes that you've got, anything like that. So
okay,
it's not
so
necessarily
that's...
your what I'm wearing today out. This is this woman's entire life.
Your worldly possessions.
All your worldly possessions.
Any of your savings, any of your valuables, anything from family is going
to
be that.
Is there. And it seems to be sort of this box that they are after. The contents of these things are, they know is going to be much greater than just robbing someone on the street.
Yeah.
So it is a disturbing and cunning plan.
A disturbing and cunning plan.
Disturbing and cunning. So Rosalie and Franz, They work sometimes individually, they sometimes work together. They will approach these women and offer an opportunity too good to miss, really. Mm-hmm. A well-paid position in a well-respected house, accommodation included. How could anyone refuse?
Yeah.
How can anyone turn this down? On the 18th of June, the Schneiders spot 18-year-old Rosalie Kleinrath. The pair approach her and say they are looking to hire another servant for their mistress. The Baroness Falk.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's a good name.
Baroness Falk is who they work for.
Sounds imposing.
The Baroness is very grand indeed. Ugh. And she insists on only the very best and the most beautiful staff work for her. Absolutely. She won't have ugly maids around the house. none of this. And they have seen Rosalie Kleinrath across the street. And she is the one. She's suitably beautiful and will impress the maids. Obviously,
right,
Rosalie
right.
is quite flattered.
Oh, yes.
See,
that's how you're going to get. We need the most beautiful. Me?
Me.
I've often thought of modelling.
You've chosen me.
Oh, God, no. Never. This is why I never listen to flattery people.
Yeah,
I mean, I listen to flattery constantly, but anyone says, oh, you're very nice. Absolutely have all my money.
Yeah, have everything I've got. Have
but,
my box.
Yeah. Have my box. Yes.
Rosalie Kleinrath, she agrees straight away. How could she refuse this? The Schneiders accompany Rosalie to her lodgings, where she says, oh, I've got to go sort a few bits and pieces out, give notice in the lodgings that I'm in, pick up my last minute bits and pieces.
Pick up my box.
Pick up
my
box.
Mm-hmm.
While they're there, Franz suggests that they go for a little walk. Let's just go and have a little walk. He will fill her in on the rest of the household, what the other people are like, how the mistress likes things done. I mean, the Baroness would be especially pleased if she arrives knowing who everyone is,
yes,
knowing what she wants,
yes,
things like that. So we'll get you ahead in the game. So she's like, absolutely, anything you can tell me is great. Let's go for a walk around the block or whatever.
I love walking,
absolutely. So off they go. They leave the apartment, off they go. And they start walking and walking and walking, getting further and further and further and further away from anything, really, until they find themselves in a small patch of woodland. This is where he strangles her to death.
Oh, God. Oh, come on.
He strips her of all her valuables and leaves her body in the woods.
Poor thing. Oh.
Rosalie Schneider is still back in the apartment waiting for her husband's return. And she fills her time going through every drawer and cupboard.
Yeah.
Picking out all the good stuff that she can find, bagging. If she can sell it for a single penny, it's coming with them.
Yeah. You've just called her Rosalie Schneider.
There's two Rosalies. So the wife is Rosalie.
Yeah.
And also this new maid is also Rosalie.
The wife's surname is the Italian sounding surname.
No, that was her maiden name.
Sorry. Yep. Thank
Beg
you.
Your
thank you.
So yes. So she married. Now she's now Rosalie Schneider.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Yep.
I'm sure everyone else picked up on that. I was right to ask.
You were right to ask.
I was right
absolutely.
To ask. I was like, who the fuck is this woman?
Sorry. There
Rosalie
are two...
is in the woods. Well, Rosalie is in her room.
There are too many Rosalies and Joannas in this story.
Yes, there are, actually.
So
yeah.
It gets very confusing.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm glad I cleared that up. Yep. So to be clear, Rosalie Schneider. Rosalie Schneider.
Franz and Rosalie Schneider.
Yep.
Married couple, evil bastards.
Yep.
Rosalie Kilnrath has just been murdered in the woods.
In the woods, right, okay. Right, are there any more Rosalies or Joannas in this?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
Now we have Marie. In comes Marie.
Marie, you're very welcome. Get away, get away.
So, 3rd of July, Rosalie once again goes to the servants' office in Newglenbuck. There she spots another one, young woman, Marie Hotvanger. Now, she is applying for work. She is there applying for work, answering some help wanted ads. And the two strike up a conversation. Now, Rosalie claims that she's at the office to place an advertisement for herself. She needs a maid. Her maid has quit, left her in the shit, as bastard maids are wanted to do. And she's in desperate need for help. She's in desperate need. Now, Marie takes the bait. Absolutely. And she starts extolling her skills, her excellent maiding that she does. expertise. I made very well.
I was top of maiding in my maiding class.
Absolutely. So yeah, she is listing off everything that she can do.
Dusting.
I can do some dusting.
Folding the toilet roll into that little point. I can do that.
She does all that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Rosalie offers Marie a job. You sound perfect. You sound absolutely ideal. But you have to start straight away. I can't cope any longer without a maid. You have to start straight away. Okay, fine. Yeah,
Marie,
why not?
Run away.
Now, Marie, she agrees, and she runs across to a nearby inn. Her boyfriend is waiting for her. Her boyfriend is at the inn waiting for Marie to go and place her ads. And Marie comes in and says, I've got a job. Fantastic. But I've got to go. Now, her boyfriend is like, okay. Because it's not that uncommon.
Well, so yeah, she would have to go into
She would
service,
have to go
so...
and live with her employer. So the boyfriend's like, fantastic. That's brilliant
news. That's
great.
On you go.
I'll see you on your day off type thing. He never sees her alive again.
Oh, that's too sad.
Yeah.
He
watches as she walks away with
her new
employer.
I don't like that. Sorry. They were young and in love.
They were young and in love.
They say goodbye and kiss. Isn't it wonderful? Their whole life.
Yeah, yeah. Her
Let's
body.
Just make out that he was a bastard. It is what it is.
Marie's body is discovered 20 days later in woods outside Vienna, showing signs of strangulation. Oh. All's great for the Schneiders, though. They use the money stolen from Marie in her box, and they are able to move to yet another apartment, a bigger apartment, get nice new furniture. All the loveliest, most fashionable things.
How big an apartment do they need?
Massive, apparently.
Yes.
Massive for all their nice, shiny things that they're stealing from everyone. 5 days later, they're really on a roll now, the couple approach yet another woman, Frederica Zuffa, who they manage to convince that they themselves are looking for a maidservant. That same day, she is lured to nearby woods, where Franz strangles her, strips her body of all clothing, and then tucks her away under some branches. In some bushes, hides her away. Now, another account of this murder, which is very poisonous cabinet, is that Frederica was in fact poisoned by inhaling fumes from a bottle of mystery potion that Rosalie had created.
Right.
Just for the job, which I think may be slightly fanciful.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's interesting. Yeah. Apparently, yes. So Rosalie had concocted something deadly. And said, sniff this.
Was it that mulled wine recipe that we read earlier on?
Very possible.
It's red wine and eggs.
Yeah. I'm probably going to go with more down the strangulation route.
Well, we'd rather that she died from just a quick poisoning than being strangled to death. Yeah. But
I feel that the poisoning was a later effort to implicate Rosalie more and make her in the climate.
Oh, interesting.
Potentially,
yeah.
I may be mistaken. Either way, after the murder, the Schneiders sell their woman's clothing, earning them now enough money for Rosalie to quit her job entirely and commit to helping her husband locate new victims. She can now do this full time.
It's quite the career development, isn't it?
It really is. Career progression is
yeah. What was she doing for a living otherwise?
Maiding.
Oh, she was a maiding herself. She was a maiding herself, so she knew all the tricks of the trade. She was like, no, I'm going to go freelance. That's it. Yeah. Me and my husband have got a business going. Yeah. What's it in? It's fine.
It's business.
It's business. We're going to do business together. Of buying stuff from...
We're
never mind.
Really good at business.
Got a lot of clients.
Yeah, I need a drink. Do you need a drink?
I think we need
a drink. Excellent.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, Nick, we have our top ups.
We do.
We got Fizz.
Yes.
For ease.
Yes.
Because I needed to know what happened in
the
story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, indeed. So broadly, yeah, quit a day job. Full-time murdering ahead.
Yes. Did she claim tax for that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to be.
Oh.
Just as she is building up to this new career path, things start to go wrong.
Good.
Things start to go wrong. The press have publicized details about one of the murders.
Okay.
One of the bodies has been discovered. Now, the report includes a witness description of a man who has apparently been seen with a victim very shortly before her death. The report is read by one of Franz's early surviving victims, Anna Gurix, the woman who was attacked before but left
and lived,
who decided she's not going to go to report to the police. There's no point. I'm not going to bother.
Yeah.
She has read this report going,
comes forward.
This is the same man who attacked me. And she realises that obviously he has progressed to murder. So she feels like she needs to say something. So she contacts the police about her assault. She is absolutely convinced that it is the same man. She gives the details about how she met Franz, about the inn where Franz had first approached her. She also explains that, well, at the inn, he seemed to be very well known. At the inn, people seem to know him. He must have been a regular there, so someone there surely will be able to identify who this man is. So authorities go, okay, it's worth a punt, we'll go and have a look. They go to the inn, they speak to the owner. The owner is a chap by the name of Heinrich Schneider, Franz's brother.
No, what? His fucking brother owns the inn.
His brother owns the inn.
Oh my, that's why no one ever said anything.
His brother owns the inn.
Bastard.
Now, we don't know if Heinrich was aware of what his brother and his sister-in-law were doing at all. Obviously, Franz was a regular at the inn, but just to see his brother.
A bit, he leaves with a woman each night.
He knows that Franz is maybe a bit of a player or something like that. He's absolutely stepping out. He knows also that he only married Rosalie for her money.
Oh, I guess. Well, so maybe he's not completely complicit.
He's not complicit in the murdering him. I'm sure he thinks Franz is just shagging a lot of women.
No, he had a spare bedroom upstairs with a trap door and a bed of spikes below it. He was in on it. He had his own scheme going on. Right.
But he does confirm that, yes, the description sounds a lot like his brother Franz, and that, yep, Franz is often at the inn with various women. A search is sent out for Franz Schneider. We need to find this man. And he is tracked to their apartment in Vienna, now where they are living under a different name. The names are Ferdinand and Rosalie Riedler.
Okay.
Are aliases they are using, but they are tracked to this address. Their home is searched and clothing is found that belong to three of the known murder victims.
They've
kept it in the house. Obviously, they sold a lot of stuff, but some bits couldn't bear to part with.
Souvenirs.
They also found items that lead authorities to believe that there are a minimum of another three victims unaccounted for.
Oh, come on.
Through the amount of clothes and the different styles and sizes of clothes. They think probably that all the clothes seem to be similar sort of status, like young women.
Getting off the train or other
maids and things like that who are looking for jobs who just have not been discovered. Just bodies who have been well hidden. Exactly. Now, with this evidence, the Schneiders are charged with three murders, sent to await trial. On September the 15th, Rosalie attempts to commit suicide by jumping out of a window of a third-story building.
Right, okay.
She sustains heavy injuries, but she survives.
Okay.
She survives the fall and is nursed back to health just in time for her trial.
Good, okay.
Now, while that is going on, over the next, say, few months, over 600 officers and foresters are involved in searching woods around Vienna with bloodhounds and all sorts of animals, and they are able to locate the bodies of two missing women, lightly buried under shrubbery and such like. They are all in a very severe state of decomposition, indicating they've been there for quite some time, for a good year or two or something like that. The Schneider's trial begins on the 26th of January, 1892. Now, the case has caused such a massive buzz in Austria that it really is the place to be.
Right.
It really is the place to be. Now, the following is a report on the trial by a United Press reporter. So I'm going to read this from there.
Okay.
A peculiarity of the crowd which frequented the courtroom was that it was not composed entirely of men, as is in usually the case of murder trials here, where women, unless they are witnesses or connections of prisoners, do not attend such trials. The Schneider's trial, however, has been marked by the presence of a very large number of stylishly dressed ladies who levelled their lingettes, opera glasses.
So this is shades of Patreon this
week. It really is. When you were reading that, I thought, oh, this is very familiar. who level their lingettes and closely scan the features of the prisoners whenever the opportunity offered. Some of the evidence was of a nature to bring a blush to almost any cheek, but these ladies, though some of them did blush at certain parts of the testimony, were so eager to hear every word about the crimes that they conquered their natural inclinations to leave the courtroom, and gaining courage from their many women present, they remained and had their curiosity gratified to the fullest extent.
Women may have blushed, but they wanted to hear every juicy detail.
They wanted all the details.
They were hungry for the gossip.
They really, really were.
Oh my God. Well, you know, it's a scandalous trial.
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
Else are you going to do? There's no TV.
Bugger all else to do. Yeah. Fucking Mozart again. No, I can't hear him. I can't hear her release it. I was paying. I can't hear the magic flute anymore.
I cannot hear another fucking waltz.
When Franz takes the stand, he seems entirely unbothered by the whole affair. The prosecutor goes into great details about all the horrors that he has committed. He is especially focused and harsh towards Rosalie, describing her as not only as the brains behind the whole thing, as the schemer behind it, but also as an active participant in her husband's murders. So the husband has committed the murders, but she is an active participant, holding down the victim's hands while Franz strangled them to prevent them from scratching his face.
That doesn't seem likely. I'm not saying she's a nice woman, but I mean,
it seems a slightly, I think, much the same as that she's concocted this evil potion that's going to kill everyone.
It must be the woman who's behind
it. I think it's, again, trying to make her seem much... She's a not a pleasant woman, but perhaps not to that extent. The trial lasts about a week or so, and it is so popular that people are really not keen to lose their seats. Once they're in, they want to stay there. They want to find out what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you get a seat, you're not going to...
I mean, during breaks or lunches, not a single person leaves the room. They bring in picnics.
Yeah.
So they don't have to forfeit their seats. And these sort of things become more and more elaborate as the days goes on. And especially Fancy Lady is accompanied by her butler, who serves schnapps to the assembled spectators.
That's it. I mean, it's better than any of the other things that could have been in there. But yeah, schnapps. So yeah, everybody schnapps.
Schnapps,
everybody.
Everyone, schnapps. Schnapps.
Oh, absolutely. You need a
little... going, shut up. Or bring me schnapps.
And you should be... Yes, I will have a top up. Thank you very much. Did they also all have buckets? How do they pee?
I don't know.
They're eating and drinking.
They're
schnapps.
Eating and drinking.
They're quaffing champagne. Absolutely, just going on the floor.
They're having a grand old time.
The butler was bringing in schnapps and a chamber pot. ooh, that was a gross courtroom.
That's why
it only lasted a week. They were like, okay, the courtroom is absolutely just full of piss.
Yes, it's very, very smelly in there.
Right, okay.
It is during their defences speech, that Franz, his resolve finally sort of breaks. The defence goes straight for mercy. They know there is no way they can convince anyone that these people did not do these things.
Yeah.
So forget that. You're not going to get off.
Yeah.
Mercy. Pleading for mercy, for lenience. Please spare their lives. I mean, it seems that perhaps this sort of realisation now that they're fucked. This is not going to go well. The Franz, he actually breaks down in tears at this point and exclaims, "My wife led me on. She planned it all."
Oh.
At this point, the crowd burst into laughter.
Nice, nice.
They have too much schnapps.
Yes. Pissing themselves, literally.
Absolutely pissing themselves with this. Because he's quite a big, sort of strong, burly man.
Yeah.
And the idea that, "My wife made me do it," he's considered hilarious in the gallery from the spectators. And they have a great time mocking him for his exclamations. The council's words, they have a very similar effect on Rosalie. Now, she is there in floods of tears, apparently in great remorse about what she has been involved with. Now, rather than invoking the laughter that it did for her husband, the women in the courtroom apparently stand and hiss at her to show their disgust at this last minute show remorse that they think it is.
Okay. It's not a pantomime. Do they know that?
Apparently not. There's a lot of hissing going on.
Is it hissing, though? Or is it just a...
the sound of 300 women pissing at the same time.
Looking at them like, this is what I think of you.
It could well be. It could well be. Perhaps the reporter got that one wrong. but...
Brilliant.
The jury is out for 20 minutes.
Right. Snacks.
Snacks.
They didn't even get to the buffet.
Snacks and a quick round of schnapps, and they're back in again.
They go out and dry their feet.
Ring out their socks. It's fine. Franz is found guilty on all charges.
Yes.
Rosalie is found guilty of the murder of Frederica Zuffa. This is the one that she was meant to poison. The judge spares no time in sentencing them both to death. Absolutely no mercy here. Over just days before Rosalie is due to be executed, her sentence is reduced to life imprisonment.
Okay.
By order of the imperial family. It's been a long thing. She was going to be the first woman executed for about 80 years or so in Austria. The royal family said, civilized societies don't do this to women. They don't execute women. Therefore, we're not going to do this.
A civilized society don't have women plotting to kill other women, really. Yeah, you know. So, I'm not for the death penalty, but also...
Yeah.
Obviously, double standards.
The judge felt it deserved this thing, but then the royal family going, no, we don't do this in Austria.
Okay, life in prison.
Life in prison. Yeah. France, fuck him. do what you like with him.
I'll come back to it, but it is that double standard of you can portray a woman in court, you have to portray her as like this evil woman. Women are the root of all evil. But as soon as they're sentenced, no, they're delicate, gentle souls. Absolutely. We can't do this to a woman after we've established she's the greatest monster of all time.
Yeah.
Men, just fuck.
Franz's last meal consists of two portions of roast pork, red wine, Virginia brand Cuban cigars, and two coffees with milk. All of which we've had as fucking ingredients.
Sorry. I was wondering why you put such emphasis on that. I was like, oh, yeah, no, we have. Pork. He doesn't have a lot of vegetables there, though, does he?
May have been a side dish.
Well, what was the side dish? That's what we need to know. So roast pork, was it?
Roast pork. So yeah, a nice glass of red wine.
Yeah, a good bit of roast pork and red wine. Because I didn't know you could order cigars.
Apparently cigars and a couple of coffees.
He's trying to make it interesting when he was hanged, isn't he? Yeah, that's going to go straight through you.
Yeah. In the early hours of the morning of the 17th of March, 1892, Franz Schneider is led into the courtyard in front of the law courts. Crowd has gathered outside to watch this spectacle, but the public are held back. They are not allowed in. They are barred. Instead, there is still an audience of around 200, but they are their court officials, their police officers, their lawyers, doctors, journalists, all these people who have gathered to witness the event.
Yeah.
The executioner, the execution is presided over Austria's official executioner, yes. Joseph Siegfried.
Heard of him.
Ah, very good. Mm. Now, he suspected that he was given instruction to make this last, to make this man suffer. So instead of the usual gallows that allowed for a fast drop and a quick death, Franz is confronted by a large white post, a single white post embedded in the ground.
Okay.
Yes, I've not heard of this one before. It was interesting when I read it. The executioner's assistant, he has two assistants.
Are they going to maypole to death?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That would kill you.
Round the maypole.
Oh, shit, there's going to be Morris dancers. That's it, I'm out.
Each one grabs a leg. They lift Franz high up against this pole.
Right.
The executioner, he goes, there's some steps that run around the pole. He goes up until he is probably about 10 foot off the ground, sort of face to face with Franz.
Yeah.
He then lassos a rope around the pole and around Franz's neck.
Okay.
And he is left just to sort of hang, slowly suffocate this pole. But then some indication, each of the two assistants, they grab a leg and they pull. And they pull. So he's sort of strangled and stretched against this post. It's not a good way to go.
Wow.
So he is up there, gasping for breath. The executioner has neglected to put a hood over Franz's...
Oh, that's not pleasant.
Franz's head.
For anyone
again,
watching.
Yeah, I don't imagine he forgot to do this.
No, of course not. No.
A watching journalist wrote, "The face of the dying man could be seen between the fingers of the executioner who held his head. Every change in the colour of the flesh was discernible. It was a horrid sight."
I'm not surprised.
It took 4 minutes for Franz to be stretched and suffocated to death.
That is a long time, really.
Not a good way.
That is mad. I've never heard of that.
No, neither
am I. Brand new execution
brand
for
us. Brand new way of going. When I read stake, I thought, fuck, they're going to fucking burn him or something like that.
That's what I thought, yeah. I thought they were going to go really medieval and, like, put him across the top of the pole. You know, that kind of, was it Vlad the Impaler? Impaler, but not actually through it, just to the point where all your organs shift and this blunt pole. But just a strangly, pulley, grossy,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. He was a fucker.
He was a fucker, indeed.
Yeah.
That is the story. That is the terrifying story of Franz and Rosalie Schneider.
And the schnapps.
And the schnapps.
Hey! Oh, good story, Nick. Mm. What happened to Rosalie?
She died in prison.
Oh, she died in prison?
She died in prison.
Ah, I see. Jumping out of windows.
Well, hopefully she wasn't. There were bars in the way.
Okay.
But yeah, no, she died. Do not know when. It's just that, she died in prison. Don't know if she was in prison for half an hour or 20 years.
Interesting.
There's also one of the reports I came across said that once a week she was subjected to 1 day in solitary confinement. That was part of her punishment.
That's interesting.
Was, yeah, 1 day a week was always in solitary confinement.
That doesn't seem difficult. 1 day a week. That's a little bit of quiet time, really, isn't it?
In solitary.
Yeah, most people would quite like that.
Yeah,
I
imagine
there'd
be a lot of screaming and shouting and general unpleasantness in a open women's prison in Austria.
There you go. Solitary confinement. You can be in the dark for 24 hours. Great.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Perhaps that just extended the whole thing.
Maybe it did.
Maybe worse like that.
Yes. Brilliant story. Oh, what a horrible pair.
Yes, indeed.
And a good classic double, murderous duo.
Yeah, definitely a murderous duo.
Oh, dear, dear. Yeah, the old hypocrisy of the women versus men in court, regardless of their guilt, of just sort of... We can think of all different things for women, but men, they're all fuckers.
They're all fuckers.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Women will lead you astray, but then they must be treated delicately.
Yeah, absolutely. They're sensitive. They're a sensitive bunch.
And people, you know what? Just don't. Let's go back in time and tell girls, don't go off with strangers.
Well,
it
reminded
me.
Remember a few weeks ago, we did Martin Dumoulin.
Yes, yes.
So French... It's like probably about 20 so years before this.
Yeah, luring women into the woods.
It's the same sort of ploy. Sort
yeah,
of
and the wife was
servants,
all for it.
The wife was involved.
Yeah.
So whether these guys were getting tips or reading about what had happened there.
And just the greed, again, I know I was mentioning about the not understanding the value of a dollar or the value of a florin. But constantly looking for more money. We need to have a bigger apartment. We need to have more things. We need to kill more people in order for...
Not to live.
Not to live.
Not to survive. No. It's just to buy a fancier sofa.
Yeah.
Which
no,
I'm
we just need with. More things.
We just need more stuff.
It's just opulence of just, we need this latest thing. We do that. I understand. I have to shop on Amazon every 2 days to, or some other independent shop. You know, don't look at my book pile. But yeah, just, oh, we'll have to kill, but we will have to kill people.
It's the
we'll
only possible
have
way.
To murder women in order to fund it. Bloody hell. Well, it was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But it had moments.
I'm glad it had moments for you.
That courtroom was never used again. That was raised to the ground afterwards.
Yep, burn it down. And it won't burn, it's too wet.
It's funny the coincidences actually of having that on Patreon.
Yeah, where I women, know, when you said that, I go, whoa, this is very familiar.
Yeah, women turning up with their sandwiches and champagne for the court case we covered on Patreon. And here they are again. Yep. Schnapps this
schnapps,
time.
Schnapps.
Schnapps. Wonderful. Well, what do you think, people? What do you think of this diabolical duo who operated in Austria? What do you think of their motives? Do you think that Rosalie was behind it? Was she a puppet master? Was she pulling the strings, or was she just a victim of circumstance? Victim is probably the wrong word, but just listening to what her husband said, and they worked together, decided to go freelance in the middle of it all, going, oh, I don't need a job anymore. I can murder for a living. And the court case as well. Did she receive the right treatment? Should her sentence have been commuted?
Should she have been hissed at like that?
Should she have been hissed at if indeed it was hissing? What would you do at... Well, you can go to court cases today.
I think it's frowned upon if you do hiss at people.
Yes, and bring in champagne and sandwiches.
And a butler.
And a butler who's serving out schnapps to everyone. Going around, schnapps? Schnapps? No? No? Okay. Just anyone with apple sours. Just a few aftershocks will be fine. Tell us what you think. Jump on the comments of this episode and on any of the social media channels you follow and tell us your thoughts, your feelings, your musings and your fears, your deepest, darkest fears that were ignited during this episode. But most importantly, while you listen, you must mix up A Missionary's Downfall.
Oh, it's so good.
It was so nice.
So nice.
That's one of the best we've had in a while.
Yeah. No, and I'm really pleased with that. Really, really, really nice.
Perfect summer drink.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to sit in some gardens.
A good party drink as well.
Good party. That. Make a punch. You can make a really good punch out of that.
I was just going to say, do you think you could mix up a pitcher of it?
Yeah, oh, God,
get a whole big bowl of crushed ice.
Absolutely.
And just be serving that up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fresh crushed ice. That picture of that over the top, beautiful.
Delicious. None of your sex on the beaches.
None of that.
This is the thing that you must make.
It's what you want.
And tell your friends and tell your enemies as well.
Tell everyone you can.
Go to every party that you go to this summer. Every wedding. Go in there and go, if there's not one of these on the menu, I'm not coming and I'm not sending you a gift, you fuckers. Anyway, happy birthday.
Do that.
Mix up the drink or send us pictures of drinks that you are enjoying wherever you are in the world. If you haven't already, please consider joining us on Patreon for extra Poisonous Cabinet content every single week, as well as video clips from these episodes. Come and join us on social media, on Instagram. We're also on Facebook, where we have our book club, and we are doing lots on TikTok these days. Really, really helps us if you follow us on there. And please leave us a review on Apple iTunes if you can. Thanks for listening, guys. We have been the people inside the Poisoner's Cabinet. We will see you next week. And remember, your loved ones are trying to kill you.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.